Chapter 33. Finale. Coda. Cadence for a storm in closing. Coda. A passage that brings a piece or a movement to an end. Cadence. A melodic or harmonic configuration that creates a sense of resolution, indicating the end of a section or a piece. Jiraiya's feet are aching, even though he discarded Tsunade's stupid torture shoes as soon as he sat down. He pulls one into his lap and rubs at the arch absently, distantly wondering just how she manages to stay on her feet for 18 hours a day while wearing those things. Granted, hers are significantly shorter than the ones she forced him and Orochimaru into. But still, torture. The shoes only hold a very small portion of his attention, though. The rest is centered firmly on the hospital bed in front of him, the pale, gaunt body of his former student laid out on the pale sheets. Nagato's red hair is like a spill of blood across the pillowcase, and the sight of him is absolutely unnerving. Jiraiya had thought him dead, right up until Orochimaru revealed that he was still alive and the puppet leader of Akatsuki. And he wonders, now, just how much of Nagato's situation is his fault, how much can be attributed to him leaving three young children on their own in a war zone. Nagato isn't the wasted near-corpse he was when Naruto dragged him back to the village in his automated walker, repentant and prepared to die to pay for his crimes. Tsunade was able to counteract the damage caused by the demonic statue of the Outer Path through a transfer of chakra from several of the Jinchuriki. He's Nagato again, rather than that somewhat lively zombie, and while seeing him like this eases Jiraiya's mind slightly, he's still reeling. More so than when he first learned of his student's fall from grace, even, because that was distant knowledge, and this is understanding. This is proof that something went wrong despite Jiraiya's best intentions. He should have dragged the three kids back to Konoha with him. He should have insisted, no matter how much he knew Yaiko wanted to save Ame, even if it would have put them closer to Danzo, who aided Hanzo. And the thought still makes Jiraiya's blood boil with impotent fury. It would have taken them out of his line of fire, would have kept them relatively safe and prevented this, all of this, likely, or enough of it to count. But Nagato had seen the error of his ways, helped along greatly by Naruto's unwavering conviction that peace is truly possible. He hasn't even been punished, because he's an Uzumaki and Naruto immediately claimed him as a clan member and a citizen of Uzushio, and he's here in the hospital, sleeping peacefully. Konan is in the next bed over, equally out of it, and she looks like a vast weight has been lifted from her shoulders, as though she's just regained hope in the world. The Naruto effect, Tsunade had called it, and her tone was light, but the look in her eyes was absolutely serious. Jiraiya can't help but agree. There's no flicker in the shadows, no sound of steps or anything of the sort, but Jiraiya still has instincts honed over 2 years of close contact and four more of slightly more irregular meetings, so he doesn't jump out of his skin when his sneaky little bastard of a student spontaneously appears 3 inches to the left of his elbow. "Sasuke," he says, and can't quite fight his smile at the sight of the Uchiha. He never expected to do anything but hate the boy when they first met. Hate him and reluctantly train him and give him the bare minimum that Jiraiya could get away with, but, well, he's become grudgingly fond of the kid, with his pig-headedness and his single-minded devotion to Naruto, and his deeply buried sense of humor. Training him has been good, satisfying, and if he's not another Minato, not Naruto with his strange sideways sort of genius, that's probably for the better. Jiraiya knows his own flaws, and at least with Sasuke, he was never able to project his feelings for anyone else onto the boy, the way he likely would have done if Naruto kept training with him. Naruto is the spitting image of his father, after all. Ero-sennin, Sasuke answers, the faint tip to one corner of his mouth that speaks of amusement, probably at Jiraiya's eternal aggravation regarding that nickname, knowing him, or... nice dress. That... the only upside to the fact that he has to wear the stupid thing for a solid 12 hours is that he's made very, very sure no one has been able to get pictures, and Tsunade's let him remain mostly in the hospital, so only a fairly small pool of people have seen him. Unlike Orochimaru, who has quite calmly accompanied Tsunade all around the village in her duties. Then again, the only looks Orochimaru gets are because he looks like a girl in a very short skirt. Whereas for Jiraiya, those looks are significantly more horrified. He'd hold this over Orochimaru's head forever, except that in this case, it actually works in the sneaky bastard's favor. Jiraiya chuckles, despite himself, tugging at one ruffled hem. Orochimaru and I lost a bet. Tsunade's viciousness knows no bounds, he explains. Another pause, his eyes still fixed on Nagato's still form. And then he offers lightly, so, you and Naruto, huh? Minato cornered you yet? The barely visible smirk deepens, becoming blatant. He's currently attempting to convince Naruto that I'm too old for him, he says in clear amusement. When I left, Naruto was in the process of reminding his father that he could technically be considered in his 60s, given his memories. Jiraiya wishes Minato luck, though he already knows Naruto won't so much as budge. The brat has his mother's stubbornness, and it's only been tempered living among so many other Uzumaki. Talk to Tsunade yet? He asks, switching to rub at his other foot. He's familiar enough with both his student and his former teammate to recognize the slightly abashed expression that flickers over Sasuke's features. Then again, it's a pretty common one when directed at Jiraiya, and can roughly be translated as, the Hokage scares me, won't you please be my meat shield and bring the topic up with her for me instead? He gives Sasuke a scowl, because no, and gets a flatly entreating expression in return. We have a month, Sasuke points out, when the silence gets too accusing for him to withstand any longer, and he's not fidgeting, but it's definitely close. The Chunin exams haven't even started yet. And Sasuke, who Tsunade has always enjoyed picking on, in no small part because he and Jiraiya can so easily get a rise out of each other, will obviously put it off until the very last moment, and then Tsunade will refuse on principle. Jiraiya sighs and rubs a hand over his hair, giving in with bad grace and a roll of his eyes. Fine, fine, I'll do it, but you're gonna owe me one, kid. Or several dozen. Sasuke nods, his quick acceptance of this, and then turns to head for the window. A single step away, and he pauses, and then says gruffly, thanks. For everything is the part he leaves unspoken. But Jiraiya hears it anyway. Keep in contact, is his only acknowledgement. They're both happier that way. And the next time you try and sneak up on me like that, I'll drown you in a puddle. Got it, brat? The bastard just grunts something that could be a sound of amusement, a vague threat, or a simple recognition of someone else having spoken, and then is gone. Jiraiya narrows his eyes after him, because he's been around long enough to know when the brat is planning something, and has been on the receiving end of enough of Sasuke's Naruto-inspired pranks to know when he should be wary. And he's definitely getting that feeling right now, which is very much not good. But still, if Sasuke is going to end up where he thinks Sasuke is going to end up, he won't have to worry about it for that much longer. Jiraiya smiles a little as he turns back to his first student, watching Nagato breathe deeply and evenly, and puts it out of his mind. This isn't a night for worrying, after all. Tomorrow will be soon enough for that. Sasuke turns back a few yards from the hospital, no longer bothering to fight his smirk, and studies the life-size photograph pinned to the wall of the nearest building. pink and ruffles and a perilously short skirt, a nurse's cap perched atop shaggy white hair, and the image is scarring, but it's sheer gold as far as mortification goes. He pats it with an evil chuckle, casts his glance over the hundreds of copies in various sizes pasted all across Konoha, and heads off with a quiet snicker and a song in his heart. His work here is most definitely done. Let the old pervert just try to use him as Kunoichi bathhouse bait ever again. This time, Sasuke gets the last laugh. The wind is rising, making the treetops dance and sway as the moon sails between tattered clouds overhead. Stars are coming out, and the air is cooling rapidly without the dense cloud cover of the past week. Konoha is quiet under its blanket of collective exhaustion, and the few people Naruto has passed on the streets have all looked as though they're headed to bed. They won, and the cost was dear, but nowhere near what it could have been. Only a handful of casualties, given the powers present on the battlefield. And Naruto mourns those lost, of course. But Uzushio's fall is foremost in his memories. In comparison to that, the last large battle he took part in, this one was an overwhelming victory. Naruto tips his head back, watching the slow movement of the clouds above, and breathes out slowly. He's finally shaken his father, who has been persistently tailing him for the last hour, with various, mostly petulant, arguments as to why Fugaku's son isn't someone he should be dating. Honestly, it's more amusing than anything, especially since Naruto is well aware that Namikaze Minato, Konoha's fearsome yellow flash and Yondaime Hokage, would be more than capable of pulling up a better argument than, but his haircut is stupid, if he truly objected. He's just being a father. No one's ever done that for Naruto before, and he's finding that there's a rather lot that he's willing to put up with for the sake of that. He's alone for the moment, and that's fine. Sarutobi is at the memorial, saying his goodbyes to all the family and friends he's lost. Kagami is gone, having cheerfully abandoned the village to follow his son, who has apparently, as far as Naruto can gather, eloped with Kakashi. Hashirama and Tobirama are both with Tsunade, walking the village one more time. Haku, Gaara, Killer Bee, and Utakata have ensconced themselves in an inn with the rest of Uzushio's genin teams and jonin-sensei, while Fu and Yugito and their new kunoichi friends hit the baths. Karin, with Roshi's assistance, escorted the rest of the Uzushionin back to the city once she was satisfied that Naruto wasn't about to cause another world war. It's likely she'll depose Kimimaro before the night is through, and have Uzushio running like a well-oiled, if slightly off-kilter, machine by the time he makes it back. It's amazing having them all here, having his past and his present meet, and then clearly thrive. And there doesn't seem to be a way to separate them any longer, even if Naruto wanted to. The Whirlpool Shinobi have mixed with the Leaf and struck up fast friendships, just as they did in the past. It makes something warm settle in Naruto's bones, to see Fu and Tenten joined at the hip, or Shizune and Utakata commiserating as they walk, or Gaara surrounded by a knot of genin from both villages. The past isn't repeating itself. Not exactly. This isn't how it used to be. There's no overwhelming tension now, no breathless sort of danger that speaks of war on the horizon. It was a little touch and go earlier, when A descended on Konoha like a particularly indignant thunderstorm and demanded to know where his brother was. But it's better now, and the Raikage brought several genin teams with him to enter in the exam. Tsunade has even sent Onoki an invitation to participate in either the exams or their impromptu summit, despite the tension between their villages. And it feels like peace, like a start. And that's enough. That's the first step. A breath of sea wind in the darkness, sharp with salt and carrying the heat of sun-warmed golden stone. And Naruto pauses, breathing it in with a smile. He closes his eyes, and Uzushio hums around him like a second skin, an aura of home and dear and mine always, and peace, finally. She feels content, the way she did that first night the city was whole, the construction finished and her people sleeping soundly within her walls. It's a good feeling, so good, like a warm fire after a long day in the cold, a hearty meal with family for an empty stomach, like a hug after a long absence, or a soft kiss for no reason at all. "We did it," Naruto tells her softly, and feels Kurama add a sleepy, relaxed agreement from deep within him. "It's over. Finally. We did it."
"Awake, alive,"
she agrees, sweet and warm in his ear. And just for a heartbeat, he sees Uzushio as she is, spread out in shades of red and white and gold beneath the moon, a thousand hearts beating peacefully within. Sees the ocean, cool and gentle, washing up along the shore. Walls and watchtowers, like bones and skin, streets like veins and people like blood, and beneath it all, her heart. Fierce and beautiful, carved with the names of every family she calls her own.
"Awake, living, the both of us. The city is alive and the people are returned, and your soul dwells here." "Thank you, child. I called you back, and you came."
Naruto remembers death, remembers a knife at his throat and the darkness closing in around him. But her touch is peace and joy, comfort and ease, and Naruto allows himself to forget about the war and sorrow and death, to push them aside because they're not important anymore, not relevant with how the way the world is changing. He closes his eyes, cradled by the sea wind from his home and Uzushio's heart beating away alongside his own, and thinks of happy times, Haku and Gaara and Sasuke, red rooftops and white stone and golden brown streets beneath the sun, storms rising above the sea and immense in their power, people and moments and sights that will always be with him, always be close to his soul, because they're so very precious to him, his reason for existing, for returning. "Always," he promises with a smile. And it's the easiest thing he's ever done. "I'll always come back to you. How could I ever do differently?"
"It is our promise,"
Uzushio agrees, and lets him go in a whirl of sea wind and laughter and the trembling, awe-inspiring power of a storm tightly leashed. And Naruto laughs along with her, stepping forward, and it feels like entwined fingers gently pulling apart. But right there to grasp him if he needs them. Always there, no matter what. So warm and gentle and welcoming, and this is home. This is everything Naruto has ever wanted, all he's ever worked for. Home and safety and family and peace, and maybe it isn't perfect, maybe it won't ever be, but it's enough. It's enough, and he loves it fiercely, ferociously, with all that he is. There's only one promise left to honor, made to Mito on the night he became Uzukage the first time. And Naruto grins as he heads down the street, because it's already halfway to fulfilled. And that's a damn good start. The lights are still on in Sasuke's apartment when he slips in through the window, and Sasuke himself is leaning against the kitchen doorway, a mug of green tea cradled between his hands. He's watching Naruto, expression calm and faintly tired but alert. And when Naruto smiles at him, he smiles back and sets his tea aside, crossing the floor with three swift steps.
"Finally got away?" he asks dryly, reaching out,
and Naruto laughs, taking his hand and allowing Sasuke to pull him close. "The pervert sage nabbed him," he admits. "I think he noticed how close I was to simply stringing Dad up in a tree or something to shake him off."
Sasuke snorts, leaning in, and Naruto leans up to meet him in a soft, slow kiss, sliding his fingers into dark hair and gripping gently. The Uchiha makes a low, rough sound, arms tightening around him and fingers grasping, and Naruto nips at his lower lip and licks into his mouth, the slow slide of fingers along his sides sending heat curling pleasantly through him. Another kiss, slick and deep and messy, but all the better for it. And Naruto laughs as he pulls away slightly. Sasuke makes a dissatisfied noise, pressing his mouth to the skin of Naruto's throat and scraping lightly with his teeth. And Naruto's eyes fall shut as the curling heat becomes a flood of sparks down his spine. But it's still not enough to entirely distract him from what he wants to say. And he uses his grip on Sasuke's hair to gently pull his head up so their eyes can meet. He's been practicing for this all day, planning his words and his tone and a way to couch it that's both cool and nonchalant. But in the end, with those hot dark eyes on him and every emotion written clearly on Sasuke's face, all of that vanishes, like so much smoke. Naruto's breath catches in his throat, his heart heavy hot in his chest, and all that he can manage to say is, "Come with me. When I go back to Uzushio, come with me." And Sasuke smiles, not small and slight and half smirking, but full and warm and traced with laughter as he steps backwards, pulling Naruto right along with him.
"Of course, Dobe,"
he says, as though there was never a question. And maybe there wasn't.
"Jiraiya is going to ask Tsunade to make me ambassador."
A surge of elation, like a storm touching down to earth, like a whirlpool to sweep him up in joy and warmth and yes, yes, yes. And Naruto laughs and leaps at Sasuke, tackles him right to the floor and kisses him hard, wraps his arms around him tightly because he could have survived with Sasuke in Konoha and him in Uzushio. He could have endured, but he doesn't have to because Sasuke is coming home with him. Sasuke laughs too, wrapping his arms around him again and rolling them over, pinning Naruto to the floor and returning the kiss with interest. Tongues and heat and silver bright sparks of want behind Naruto's eyes.
"Spend the night,"
Sasuke says, low and intent, and Naruto knows this won't just be sharing a bed. This is everything, and he wants. "Yes," he agrees, caught halfway between laughter and breathlessness, and Sasuke kisses him again, like relief, like thankfulness, even though Naruto can't imagine how he had any doubts at all. "Bedroom," he reminds Sasuke, who makes another dissatisfied noise, as though moving goes against everything in him at the moment. Naruto laughs at him, wiggling out from underneath him, even as Sasuke tries to pin him again. But Naruto is too fast and makes it to his feet before Sasuke can get a good grip. With a low huff, Sasuke rises too, eyes narrowing, and Naruto raises a brow in mocking challenge. Sasuke growls and lunges, and he's fast, but Naruto manages to turn at the last moment, Kanzashi chiming brightly as he ducks away. He takes 3 steps back, and then has to dart aside again as Sasuke's next attempt brings him close enough for his fingertips to skin sea blue cloth. Sasuke goes tumbling past with a noise of nearly offended surprise, and Naruto laughs before he can help it, dancing away from an affronted kick until he's at the edge of the hallway. Rising to his feet again, Sasuke narrows his eyes, studying Naruto closely.
"Those bells," he says, realization beginning to dawn.
Naruto grins back at him smugly and tips his head, making the kanzashi chime again. "You mean these?" he says with false innocence. "What about them?" Sasuke is staring at him, and Naruto can all but see him adding up the number of times Danzo missed him so narrowly, or Obito did, remembering how Naruto came out of both fights almost unscathed, even with the bells announcing every movement as he made it. He can see when Sasuke makes the connection. His eyes go wide, and then narrow sharply again, in sudden understanding.
"They're off," he says in disbelief. They chime after you move, not as. Grin widening, Naruto reaches up and pulls them out, letting his hair fall loose around his face as he flips one around his fingers, and then tosses it over. Sasuke catches it and turns it around, studying the tiny, inconspicuous seals laid into the glossy wood. An Uzushio special, Naruto affirms, impishly. Uzumaki Mio was the best at what she did, and she was a shinobi. Believe me, those aren't just pretty sticks. People don't even realize they're listening to the bells most of the time, and it throws their attacks off. Brilliant, right?
Dead last. I don't know whether to be impressed or accuse you of cheating, Sasuke says, incredulity coloring his tone. But when he looks up, again, there's humor in his eyes.
Uzukage, Naruto insists, affronted, and chucks the other kanzashi at his boyfriend in mild irritation. I am Uzukage, Teme. You can't call me that anymore.
But Sasuke is laughing at him, if silently, and he catches the ornament before it can stab him and lays both carefully on the low table in front of the couch. When he looks up again, the humor has shifted into heat, and Naruto finds it suddenly hard to breathe.
Bedroom,
Sasuke says lowly, and Naruto drags his brain cells back together, gives Sasuke the cheekiest grin he can manage, and bolts down the hall. There's a grunt from behind him, and then Sasuke all but tackles him through the doorway. Only just managing to stay on his feet, Naruto shifts with the momentum, braces himself, and ducks. With an indignant noise, Sasuke is flipped right over his head and lands with a huff in the middle of the mattress. For a brief moment, Naruto thinks it's a victory. But then, a sharp yank on his obi has him tumbling right along after Sasuke and landing on the top of him with a yelp. Sasuke helpfully smothers him with a pillow as he attempts to get away.
I give,
Naruto chokes out, batting Sasuke's hands away and half sprawling over the other man, trying half-heartedly to pin his arms down. He can't quite resist stealing another kiss, though, with Sasuke so close, and Sasuke answers him readily, pressing up against him and wrapping long blonde strands around his fingers. An edge of teeth makes Naruto groan, and then another hand is pulling at his obi, tugging it away. Happily, Naruto does the same, pushing Sasuke's tank top up and trying to tug his loose drawstring pants down even though he's lying on them. There's a pointed tug on his fishnet shirt, and Sasuke grunts, "Off." With enough irritation to make Naruto laugh against his lips before he pulls away, sitting up and pulling layers off.
Same to you, he returns breathlessly, wriggling out of his tights, and Sasuke strips with alacrity, tossing first his shirt and then his pants to the side.
Naruto barely has half a second to stare at pale skin and lean muscle before Sasuke reaches for him again, and Naruto can't resist. He catches Sasuke's hand and lets the Uchiha pull him close until he's all but in Sasuke's lap. The kiss this time is even hotter, intensified by the touch of bare flesh and warm skin. Naruto is still smiling, can't stop and doesn't want to, even as Sasuke shifts back to lean against the headboard. And Naruto moves with him, knees falling on either side of Sasuke's hips. It steals his breath, catches it somewhere down in his chest, and makes the heat rise higher as he stares down at Sasuke. And Sasuke looks right back up at him. Everything is in his eyes, overwhelming and just enough, and Naruto kisses him again, wet, hot, and desperate, because he has never, ever wanted anyone with even a fraction of this intensity.
Done this before?
Sasuke asks, a rough and breathless question, barely given time to register before he drags a hand down Naruto's back, tracing the curve of his spine beneath his skin. It feels like fire, or fireworks, trailing sparks. It takes a moment to understand the question, but when it finally untangles itself from the heat want yes that's filling his mind, Naruto manages a nod. Once, with Gaara, he says, and something flickers in Sasuke's eyes. Naruto offers him a brief, wry smile, and explains,
Wanted to make sure we could control ourselves if we had sex. The Bijou were our partners by then, but it's still a lot of chakra to manage, and we just didn't want to hurt anyone. Not like that. And trying it together was safe. A breath, a swallow, and Naruto manages. And you? Sasuke's features soften, and he kisses Naruto again, warmer and deeper, arms curling tight around his waist. Naruto wraps his arms around Sasuke's neck and shoulders and hangs on in return.
Yes, Sasuke murmurs, but only ever for a single night, nothing more. They weren't you, he doesn't have to say, because they're both thinking it equally.
Inhale, exhalation, and Naruto offers up a grin, warm and bright and enough to pull them back into the present. Like this? He suggests, rolling his hips slowly and making Sasuke choke out a groan.
You're going to kill me,
Sasuke huffs, even as he clutches Naruto closer to him, digs fingertips into his skin in 10 sharp, sweet points, meant to steal his coherency. Naruto laughs as much as he can around the warm, expansive tightness in his chest. Nah, he says cheerfully, rolling his hips again. I kind of think I want to keep you around. Sasuke's eyes are full of humor, even as he trails his fingers down over Naruto's ass and brushes across his entrance, making his eyes fall shut.
Hmm,
he hums against Naruto's collarbone, scraping it gently with his teeth.
A sex slave chained to your bed all day? I think I could live with that.
With a fox sly grin, Naruto pushes Sasuke back a little and leans away, arching his spine and making Sasuke's face darken with lust as their cocks rub together.
Me too.
He agrees wickedly, tracing his hands over Sasuke's chest and scraping lightly with his nails. Sasuke moans, head tipping back against the wood, and Naruto leans in to mouth at one of his nipples, pulling a sharp hiss from him. Got any slick? He asks against Sasuke's skin, sucking a mark onto the pale chest.
Bastard,
Sasuke huffs, winding Naruto's hair around his fingers again. But the only heat behind it is desire.
Bedside table, drawer on the left.
Naruto finds it easily, straightens up as he snaps the lid open. Hand, he orders, ducking down to kiss Sasuke, nipping at his lip and then sliding their tongues together. Sasuke obeys with a sharp breath, letting Naruto cover his fingers with the gel, and immediately moving his hand down to press against Naruto's hole. Naruto groans, eyes fluttering shut again, as the first finger slides in. But he tips his head back, leaving Sasuke to trace the line of his throat with his mouth, breath hot against his skin. It's been over a year since he's done this, and he'd forgotten how it felt. Odd, but good. Messy and intimate. Another finger, and he sighs, shifting his hips to adjust as Sasuke scissors his fingers and rubs against the muscle, coaxing it to stretch. Little bits of pleasure spark up his spine, curl in his gut, and stroke the heat higher, wind through him like wires tightening, and he wants Sasuke any way he can have him, for as long as he can have him. And if he has any say in it, that will be forever. And this is one piece of that need, but encompasses so much more, leaves him dizzy with desire until he can hardly breathe. Another finger, a sharper stretch, but it's still amazing. Another kiss, glancing and clumsy because they both want so much right now. And Naruto leans in more, rubs their cheeks together, and then gently closes his teeth around one of Sasuke's earlobes, tugging carefully. Sasuke gasps, fingers jerking, and hits a cluster of nerves that makes Naruto cry out, breathless and on edge, like a spring wound tight. He clumsily grabs for the lube again and dumps some carelessly on his hand and reaches for Sasuke's cock, covers him quickly even as he hisses and jerks and orders, "Now, Sasuke, damn it, I want..." Sasuke slides into him, just fast enough to steal all words and breath right from his throat, seats himself deep with a drawn-out groan, and tips his head back to thump against the wood. His fingers clench around Naruto's sides,
almost like a spasm, and his hips twitch upward in a short, helpless jerk that makes Naruto gasp. Naruto tips forward, pressing his forehead to Sasuke's shoulder as he tries to regain even a shred of his control. In his ear, Sasuke's breath comes in pants, and his eyes are tightly shut. It makes Naruto's heart flutter and twist to see him so clearly undone, and he rolls his hips, feeling the hardness inside him and stretch and fullness that's like nothing else. Sasuke gasps, thrusts up, and Naruto does it again, riding the rise of Sasuke's body and using it, lifting up and sliding back down. He isn't gonna last long, is almost at the edge already, but that's fine, because they're going to get other chances, other times to make it last. He rocks again, lifting, letting Sasuke's thrusts help him move, and it's heat and closeness and Sasuke's moans against his skin, arms around him and hands grasping and his own cries in the low light. It's fireworks up his spine, nerves alight and body humming, desire and want and need winding themselves tighter and tighter around them until it all breaks with a sharp wrench and Naruto is coming, body shaking in Sasuke's hold. Another thrust, a choked off moan, and Sasuke follows him, face pressed into his shoulder and body jerking helplessly as he spends himself. Undone, Naruto thinks, barely able to manage even that, and turns his head to press a messy, open-mouthed kiss against Sasuke's temple. He gathers himself for a long moment, then rises on his knees, groaning when Sasuke slides out of him, and drops bonelessly to the side. A second later, Sasuke follows him, sliding down the mattress and sprawling out on his back, eyes fluttering closed even as he reaches for Naruto. Naruto smiles, exhaustion weighing on him as he shifts, tipping himself into Sasuke's arms and letting himself be pulled close, halfway draped over Sasuke's chest. Sasuke whispers something into the warm darkness, arms winding just a touch tighter. Naruto smiles, kisses his shoulder and murmurs, "Yeah, me too." The day is bright, the sky completely clear for the first time in over a week, and the warmth rises from the damp earth to fill the air with the smell of wet summer. Naruto stands on a balcony overlooking the square with the rest of the Kage and village leaders, hands braced on the warm stone railing in front of him as he looks out over the gathered shinobi. The Genin teams are in the first row, assembled with their jonin instructors behind them, and each of them stands tall and proud, chins lifted. The rest are behind them, shinobi from all of the major countries and several of the smaller ones, standing in formation and staring upwards to where their leaders are waiting. The gray and blue formal robes are heavy, but it's a good weight, meaningful. Naruto tips his head a little, scanning his own forces, and smiles as Mio's kanzashi chimes softly. This is a first, almost unheard of, to have so many leaders all gathered in one place, regardless of old grudges. And maybe it isn't easy. Maybe there are still tense silences between some and uneasy truces between others. But when five of the most powerful nations come together and say, "Enough fighting, enough war, we want peace," well, people listen. And if they don't want to be left behind, they agree. "A good day for speeches," Terumi Mei murmurs from his left, leaning back against the wall with her arms crossed over her chest. She's smiling, small and satisfied, and her gaze is on her ninja as well. There's a light to it, pride and contentment, and Naruto lets himself smile back, because whatever Kiri used to be, it's changed now, and Naruto is more than willing to accept that. "A good day for peace," he agrees, and grins as he catches Haku watching him. He twiddles his fingers in a short, cheeky wave, and Haku huffs visibly, eyes narrowing in wordless chastisement. But it's not nearly enough to stop Naruto from being himself, and he just beams back, hearing the muffled laughter from his father, who's grouped with the other resurrected Hokage on the other side of the balcony. Even Kabuto is present, though he's keeping back to the shadows below, and Naruto feels so perfectly settled, he's not sure there are words for it. Sasuke is watching too. It's impossibly easy for Naruto to pick him out of the crowd, standing with Ino near the far wall, and his eyes haven't left Naruto for more than a few seconds since the whole thing started. Tsunade steps forward, vivid in red robes, and silence spreads like ripples on water as she takes center stage. "Usually," she says, with faintly wry amusement, voice carrying over the square, "I'd save the speeches for the genin who make it to the final round. But this is something different. Different circumstances, a different time. I don't want the first thing you hear from us to be talk of war, because we're better than that. We have our pride and our strength, but we don't have to go to war to show it. Many of you fought when Madara's forces invaded. Many of you were wounded. Many of you spilled blood to protect Konoha, even though it isn't your home. You did it because there was a threat to this world, and because we are shinobi. Because we protect and we fight for our homes, our families, our dreams." A low cheer from too many throats to pick out those responsible, and it makes Naruto smile, makes his heart twist in his chest, two sizes too large. Tsunade is smiling too, and she unrolls the scroll she's carrying, raising it up until the neat row of signatures on it is entirely visible. "Peace," she says, and it ripples out over the crowd, low and firm and intense enough to send a thrum through Naruto's very bones. Standing behind her, clad in Otogakure's white and purple, Orochimaru shifts slightly, gaze flickering to where Jiraiya is leaning against a building and watching with a happy grin. "That's the opportunity Madara left us with. He threatened our world, threatened those who sacrificed or were sacrificed in the name of peace." Tsunade inclines her head to the six Jinchuriki in the very middle of the square, and maybe once there would have been open space around them, a wary buffer. But Kumo-nin crowded in on one side, Konoha-nin on the other, and Uzushio-nin take up all the remaining space that's to be had, not leaving an extra inch. She raises her voice again over the murmur of recognition that rolls through the crowd, and says fiercely, "Never again! This will be our peace, together and balanced. It will be hard, it will take time, but never again do I want to see villages destroyed or needless deaths. We are your Kage, your leaders, your village heads, and we may only be human, but that's enough. These exams will go forward, but not as a proxy for war. This time we stand for honored shared, for countries working together without bloodshed. Will you stand with us?" Naruto closes his eyes as 100 throats cry their agreement back, and he stands side by side with the other leaders, Uzushio rebuilt and given a place once more, and smiles. He looks out again, finding faces in the crowd, Fu cheering and Utakata laughing and Gaara smiling, Roshi bellowing his approval, and Haku with something close to wonder on his face. Finds Sakura with tears on her face, Minato beaming, and then Sasuke, watching him still, a faint smile tilting his lips and contentment in every line of his face. Naruto smiles, winks, and blows a kiss, and Sasuke smiles back. This isn't the end of it. There will be hard work ahead of them, to keep this peace treaty strong. Failures and petty arguments and days where it seems like everything will come crashing down around them. But Naruto knows, bone deep and soul steady, that there will never be a time when it won't be worth it. Not for peace. Not for a world where they won't have to make senseless sacrifices. Not for a world where there will be no more villages lost or lives wasted. For peace. For a world where they can live and love and build their dreams. That is worth every moment of work and hardship. And Naruto lifts his smile to the sun above and adds his voice to the cheer.